Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It is out of hand in the center field, and this game is over. Got him. And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 15 of our podcast. Today's guest is Larry Bear, the president and CEO of the Giants, somebody who is very popular in Boston this week because there are a ton of Giants fans here, and we talked a little bit about that. We also talked some big picture stuff about some of the contracts they gave out and how that plays out going forward. And obviously the trade deadline is coming up, so we talked about the first half, his reaction to that, and what he sees going forward with the deadline. I think there's one thing that a lot of fans have asked him for when they see him on the street, and that was discussed here. You probably have a pretty good idea already of what that is. Before we get to the podcast, I want to plug two things really quickly. First of all, on iTunes, you can subscribe, and this will just be downloaded to your phone automatically, and we're going to do this just about every week. I think this is going to be a big part of what we do going forward, a big part of our coverage, so go ahead and subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already. And also, I want to thank our sponsor, Max Muscle, has signed on to sponsor this podcast. You can see their banner if you're listening to this online, and they'll be a sponsor going forward, so thank you to them. Now, here's Larry Bear. All right, Larry Bear, the first executive I've had on my podcast, so you get the tough ones. But
that's good. Sometimes talking to a suit is not the most enlightening, but I'll try to be enlightening.
I've heard from someone who's been around you the last couple of days that everywhere you go in Boston, you see Giants fans, and all of them ask you how are you going to fix the bullpen, which I know you can't say, but that's just the experience I've heard you're having here.
Well, you know, it's great. I mean, I'd be really worried if there was indifference. If, number one, there weren't Giants fans in Boston. I was in San Diego last week, and it was an unbelievable sort of crescendo of Giants fans there. A lot of Giants fans here. They ask about the bullpen, but they also, I'd say the overwhelming sentiment is sort of high five, what a great first half, and let's get uncorked in the second half. But it's been we're very grateful. Not a day goes by that we're not grateful for the fan support, and we're finding that the fans, it's almost like feels like a band of college football fans traveling to their alma mater or their school's games, because they're passionate, and they travel as much as they can, as often as they can. It's pretty amazing.
I haven't seen it like this before, right? Not just here at Fenway, but walking the streets and getting on the train and going out after the game last night. I mean, what do you think led to this specific? I know there's been some Giants vacation tours here and all that.
But it was pretty good in 2007. But I think, I think that the run we've had, and by the way, I can't say how it was in 1912 when we played here.
It's the last time you won here.
Yeah, that is the last time we won here. But I have to say that I think the last 5 or 6 years, it's not just the World Series championships, but I think that there's been a lot of bonding with our players. And that whether it's the signs for Hunter Pence or the Buster love, or and just keep going on and on. I don't want to single out anybody, Mad Bum, et cetera, et cetera. I think that there's a connection to the players that I think is pretty unique. And it's something that I, have to hand it to our folks, because the front office, Brian, Bobby, et cetera, have been able to keep the team together in sort of an unusual way in professional sports. Teams don't stay together, and there are exceptions, but largely together. And the fans will, I think it's been shown, that when a player is with you 5, 6, 7, 8 years, Buster's on a 9-year contract. We have a lot of players on 5-year contracts, that promotes a strong fan connection.
Do you hear from appreciative owners at your meetings? Padres owners appreciate you bringing a few thousand people with you every time you come down?
We're helping them. You know, it's funny because I personally don't understand. There have been a couple of cases where teams try to, quote-unquote, prevent the opposing team from having big delegations. And I think just the opposite. And I know San Diego, talking to Ron Fowler, the owner of the team, San Diego said, hey, it's great. Bring Giants fans. And if they're more Giants fans in the ballpark, or a large percentage of Giants fans in the ballpark, you earned it, kind of thing. And that's the attitude we have. People asked me when we had the Red Sox last month in San Francisco. They said, well, there's a lot of Red Sox fans. I said, yeah, that's good. They're baseball fans. We want baseball fans. And we want Giants fans, but we also want baseball fans. So never begrudge somebody walking around with a baseball hat, supporting their team.
I want to ask about Fenway. It's similar in some respect in the dimensions on different sides. When you were working on AT&T Park, what kind of impact did this have on the wall and what you can do with kind of a smaller, walking around here, it's incredible how small the lot is.
It's true. I would say, and it's funny you mentioned that, I'm looking right, sitting in the dugout here, I'm looking right down, I see 420, yeah, right center field, and we're 421. Well, so we're 1 foot deeper in right center. So it is there are a lot of similarities. Obviously, we don't have the Green Monster, they don't have the water, but I would say that, you know, Fenway and Wrigley inspired us, in part the dimensions, but I say even more than the dimensions, just the feel. People ask why we don't wear our names on our backs at home. It's because of the old-fashioned feel. Why do we have the viewing portals out in right field? It's the old-fashioned feel. So we wanted to be sort of a marriage of Fenway or Wrigley to modern-day technology and architecture. So if you wanted to, you know, when we were building the ballpark, kind of our one sentence operating line was Fenway Park meets Camden Yards. So sort of the best of the old with the new innovations and the technology of the new. And I think that's a professional sports. Baseball has a unique place. I mean, you're not playing other sports in facilities that opened in 1912 or 1914. And how great is that? And I think everybody feels special. You know, Alex, I was on the bus yesterday, and I would say almost all the players, or a few that not in this category, but almost all of them had never played in Fenway. Maybe they've been here, but they had not played here. And that was a wonderful sight to see their eyes wide open as they walked into the visitors' clubhouse and they walked onto the field for the first time.
When we get to baseball, how do you evaluate the first half? I mean, you guys have the best record in baseball as we're talking right now, and I think we've seen a lot of good and also maybe some issues that you're hearing about on the street. So how do you evaluate what you've seen for 3.5 months?
So I really believe that that some of the hallmarks of this first half were what kept us strong in our winning years of 10, 12, and 14, which is resilience, lots of injuries. Everybody has injuries. So it's really how you bounce back from injuries. There's not a team out there without some major injuries. And the bounce back factor has been huge. The guys coming off the bench, where if you said this is March, in March if you said it's Tejada at third, it's Grant Green at second, it's guys that didn't necessarily figure in the plan, in playing in meaningful times and meaningful games. I think that resilience has been very, very inspiring to everybody in the club. And so that we're really proud of. We know we have our work cut out for us. We have a tough schedule. We have tough games. We have tough trips. All sort of par for the course and de rigueur for a Major League Baseball season. But we're really proud of the resilience. And we haven't caught ourselves in any deep slides. And we've been able to bounce back from tough losses. So that's a hallmark of a Bochy team, a Sabian Evans sort of construction. And it's the guys in the clubhouse. I got to say, some of the guys who were younger guys, you know, the Poseys and the Crawfords and the Belts back in the first part of this decade of this 2010 on, are guys with experience. And I think that they're even better prepared to get you through tough times and influence the younger players just coming up, the Williamsons and the Parkers.
you guys were aggressive in November with Crawford and then in April with Belt. I guess you're feeling pretty good about it. One of them is right now maybe a top five MVP candidate, and the other one made his first All-Star team. Do you guys take just extra pleasure in what they've done, knowing that you were able to lock them up and make them maybe Giants for their whole careers?
We do, and being perfectly candid, we didn't have, neither of them were on their contract year, right? So we didn't have to do the deals with them in the offseason. And sometimes when you do a deal, a five-year or a six-year deal, you say to yourself, you scratch your head and you say, is this the right thing to do when you don't have to do it? So maybe in year one or two, maybe you find a slide just because the pressure isn't on. I think it was just the reverse with both Brandons, where the way they looked at it is the pressure was off and they can just go and play as hard as possible and do as well as possible. And so that was very gratifying. That with them to a long-term contract, it was the opposite of complacency, whatever that is. It's probably extra motivation to prove that the contract was the right thing, and also to just go and perform and show everybody that they're gonna make the contract a fulfilling thing for the organization.
You're gonna have, the more these guys come up, the panics, the Duffys, yeah. It's gonna be more and more of these. Do you feel differently about what you did in terms of locking guys up than maybe you did at this point last year, just because of what's happened with Crawford and Belt, that you guys might be more inclined down the line to keep doing this, or is this something you would have done anyway?
No, it could be. I mean, there'll be limits. So obviously you can't do everybody you want to do for as long as they might want. But I think that, you look at the cycle, you look who's coming off the payroll, you look who's, who could retire, you look at who is who you want to keep in the organization. And, I would say that the two guys you mentioned are also definitely on the list. And whether it's done a year or two or three ahead of the time where they could be free agent, or whether it's done closer, is really a timing call, kind of given the other needs. We were in a situation with the Brandons that we just felt it was the right time for both of them. And even though we didn't have a gun to our head in terms of if you don't sign them, they're going to be free agents at the end of the year, as we've said, it's really sometimes with players you can get maximum performance when they're able to relax and not even think about the contract. And I think with both Brandons, they're now sort of, okay, contract, box check for 5 years. Yeah. We're not thinking about it.
We're a couple weeks from the trade deadline. When you're in a position you're in right now, your best record in baseball as we're talking, and you have these two guys at the top of your rotation, you have the young guys like this, do you feel an extra, I guess, responsibility to be more aggressive than you would be if you were three games out? Or does it change at all given where you are in the standings?
Yes, I think that there's responsibility to multiple constituencies. There's responsibility to the fans. There's responsibility to the clubhouse, which is the players and the manager and the coaches. There's a responsibility to ourselves to do the best and scour the most. Having said that, go back to 2014. We had done a deal for Jake Peavy, which was sort of a week before the deadline. But right up at the deadline, we struck out, okay? Because some of the players that were available, and we were especially looking at second base at that point with Marco Scudero out, that some of the players, the asking price was too high. And some of the players you'll be seeing in Giants uniforms a couple years from now would have been gone. And so we didn't make a deal. We called up Joe Panik. And so I think that we have that responsibility, but I don't think anybody, who has the full information wants to do an ill-advised deal and give up. And it's not really a money thing as much as it's clearing out our farm system, cleaning out our farm system. We just can't do that. So it's going to be, August 1st will come and go, and I think there's a decent chance we'll make a deal, but there's also a decent chance that we're going to say to ourselves, that asking price, those two players, three players, four players, for somebody that could help us immediately, just is not responsible. And Giants fans, as we would explain it to them, if we could explain it to them without tampering, would appreciate that. So I think it could go either way. Sitting here as where we are right now, a couple weeks out from the deadline, I think it could go either way.
How much do you have to worry about long-term with some of these prospects you have and all that, because there is a window here with some other guys too. Johnny has an opt-out after 2 years, and you know, Madison's probably in his prime right now. How much do you kind of balance what you can do right now with some of these young kids you have that maybe 3 or 4 years down the line would replenish the system a little
bit? We balance it a lot, and so we don't want to ever find ourselves naked. So whenever we make a deal, we say, okay, how does that put us, and look at the depth chart, and how does that put us in 2017, 18, 19, and are we really exposed? And because it's hard to count on a draft filling those exposed pieces. So, because you just don't know. You don't know what position you're going to be drafting. You don't know what the class is like in the amateur draft. So, and then as we've seen, free agents are great as complementary pieces or even major pieces, as we've seen with Cueto and Samardzija and Spann. But we just have to be careful that we don't get thin. And I think you see some teams out there in baseball who, even teams with money, we're talking about teams that have the wherewithal, that have gotten thin because of, you know, they haven't been able to replenish the veteran players with the young guys from the farm system.
Do you get the sense that it's still a couple weeks away, but the Cubs are in it, the Nationals are in it, the Dodgers, the Mets, a bunch of marquee franchises with pretty good farm systems, that changes this deadline a little bit with some of the teams that are, maybe the prices will be a little bit higher than they've been in the past?
Or? Yeah, I think the prices will be high. I think it's some of the, because of the, it's just as you're saying, the teams that are in it, have good farm systems, have money, so they'll take on contracts. And so I think this is going to be one of the tougher, I put this more like a 2014, one of the tougher times to deal. And, you know, the one thing I would just say to our fans is we'll deal if we can. And we've seen in the years we've won, you go back to 2010, it was Cody Ross and Pat Burrell and Javier Lopez and Scudero and Pence in 12 and PV in 14. I mean, we'll do it if we can. But we also, I think we're not afraid to see that, look at the guys in the clubhouse and say, we can ride you too. But we're going to try. We're going to try hard. And no stone will be unturned, I'll tell you that. And I think one of the mantras around here is we want to be in every deal flow. I mean, I remember going back to whether it was Manny Ramirez or guys, you know, that were probably not going to end up in Giants uniforms. We have enough intellectual curiosity and enough focus on the full gamut of spectrum of baseball that we want to be in the deal flow.
So you're going to be mentioned a lot in the next 2 weeks, as sources say.
I think
the,
so.
The Giants are in on.
Well, it's funny. One thing, Alex, is sometimes you're mentioned when you're not even in on them because it's somebody has a vested interest in having it sound like
you
a big competition.
Yeah.
But I think we will be mentioned, and I think, you know, we've got. You would not want the cell phone bill of Bobby Evans. It is massive. I have a cell phone bill, but it's not from agents and other teams. It's from just all other kinds of business things. But Bobby has a tremendous cell phone bill, and that's a good thing. And he'll somebody's available. We'll check in.
I hope he's sending that to you.
He is sending it to us. We're not taking it out of his paycheck, and. You know, sometimes you can make a lot of calls and you come up empty. We'll still pay a cell phone bill then, too.
I'll end on this, and this is kind of a philosophical thing. I know you can't talk about specific players, but when there are certain players in this market who have off-field things. And do you feel, just because of where you guys are as a franchise, you're a dynasty a little bit, and the fan base you have that's here and all that, do you feel differently about certain things than maybe other organizations would? Or do you feel like you have to be more, I guess, socially conscious in terms of what some players have done?
I think we do err that way. Err not meaning it's a mistake, but, you know, we sort of have a bias toward really strong character players. And that's not to say, and sometimes players get bad reputations. I've had, you know, seen over the years a number of players come in and they say, you have a sketchy reputation, and they've been fine. They've been good. They've been great. They've been great in the community and great in the clubhouse. So I think you got to be careful based on reputation. And, you know, when people, there's allegations and charges, Major League Baseball has an investigative arm. So when you have things, whether it's related to steroids, related to domestic violence, etc., you get the full report and you understand what it is and what it isn't. So we'll be fully informed, but I would say we will err on the side of having, you know, having players that comport themselves well, because I think that wears well. I mean, when we had a player Melky Cabrera, for instance, we decided not to put him on the roster, on the postseason roster. And that was a decision that was ended up winning that year, but nobody knew what that would, you know, be better for wins and losses. But we felt it was better for sort of the, our, you know, of who we are and the stature of the Giants and consistent with our values.
Well, it worked out.
So. It did. It did. So maybe
did.
Good deeds somehow go rewarded.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to do this, yeah, and look forward to 2 weeks of your team being mentioned in everything.
Thanks, Alex.
It's a vested interest. I guess.
And I'm sure your cell phone will have a lot of charges in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't pay for it either.
So. Sounds
it works
good.
Out. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Alex.
Is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.